Hello, this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website. Welcome. I am so glad that God has directed you to this website. Being the first time on this website, nothing complex, very simple website. I'm not the master at websites. If anybody's out there that's really good at websites and can help me out, one is time. I work a 40-hour job, plus I sometimes physically preach at churches and do Bible studies, so I try to post a sermon on here every week. It don't always turn out that way, because I'm doing other things, preaching at a church or teaching at a church, and so I don't put one out every week, but the website takes time. This is a very simple website, but hey, yeah, it don't have to be nothing complex, right? I look at other websites sometimes. I'm like, wow, those are really cool websites. Wonder what they're doing. But very simple. But on this website, if you're here, there's sermons. So you can scroll down and you can see numerous sermons on here. I have some devotionals on here. Afternoon devotionals. I try to post from Monday to Friday. Don't always work out that way. But I do try to post a few throughout the week. I encourage you to check those out. Some I write, some I share from other groups. Few Bible studies on here, not many, but I post a few Bible studies. And of course, a ton of sermons. You got sermons on this web, on where you're at now, in the archives. There's probably maybe 200-300 sermons there, so I encourage you to check those out. Sermons on prayer, sermons on salvation, faith, a wide range of sermons, all free to check out. If you do have any questions on anything you hear here, on the homepage part of it, there's an email. You can reach out to me through email. Just make sure in the subject website name, or that little subject there, that you put the website's name, Crucify for Christ Ministry. Just in case if it goes to spam or junk mail, and I check my spam junk mail once a month, so I get a lot of spam, just advertisement, and I do a lot of deleting. If there's something that don't stand out to me, it normally gets deleted, so that helps me not delete that. I don't get too many emails. Over the years, I got a few, and one was really late one time. I apologize for that because I didn't see it. It wasn't actually subject. It was just grace of God that I seen it, because it wasn't subject heading Crucify for Christ Ministries. Also, this used to be Wake Up America Church Ministry. So if you go back to other older ones, 3 years ago, whatever, you'll see Wake Up America Church Ministry. God led me to change this title to Crucify for Christ Ministries, just to give it a wider band, just not for America. Although my ministry is in America, I believe America is a missionary field. When I say that, a lot of people are like, what, a missionary field, America? Yeah, we have here, especially on the Bible Belt, we have a church on every block. But I can tell you from experience, visiting a lot of churches in Louisiana, which is part of the Bible Belt, many don't preach the truth of the gospel. I've been kicked out quite a few of them because they don't want to hear the truth of the gospel. They want their sin. They want somebody. They handpick somebody to put in the pulpit. And then years later, they're wondering why their church is in shambles, or when there's sin running rampant, or why the preacher is cheating on another or molesting. And I mean, it's just nasty. This is a missionary field. Pray. I believe that God's going to have to rattle and shake America to her core, and this may be in the sense of immense persecution, as we see up in China and Japan and Germany and Russia, coming to America one day, because her church are harlots. Majority of them are. They're not preaching the gospel. They're compromising left and right. And when men like me show up, we rattle things, and they get rid of us as fast as possible. We're treated like the Black Plague, when we should be treated as that messenger of God that is coming in to give them the truth that they need to hear, but they reject it. I always think of Jesus when he goes to his people and he preaches and he teaches and they reject him and he has to go away because they didn't want to hear the truth. And I tell you, the truth is not popular. It wasn't popular during Jesus Christ's time. What happened to Jesus Christ, right? We're coming up on Easter, and if you don't want to say the word Easter, you can say Resurrection Sunday. I have no problem saying Easter. It's actually mentioned in the King James version of the Bible. Some people get very picky and start getting very dogmatic on this. Easter is a time that we celebrate the resurrection of our Jesus Christ. Of course, we don't pick one day of the year to celebrate his resurrection, but it's a great opportunity during this weekend coming up to push that evangelistic pull, because everybody goes in. You go in the store, you got Easter everywhere, a lot of pagan stuff like Easter bunnies and eggs and all that. But it's an opportunity to get in there and to talk about the cross and the awesome sacrifice that Jesus Christ done for this world, for you and me and all that truly are his. So we reach out and we seek to reach in people's lives. But Jesus Christ was rejected. And he was ultimately crucified. I want to tell you, somebody that if he was preaching like most of the pastors or the evangelists, Bible teachers, or wherever your televangelists, he wouldn't have been crucified. He would have been held, and the Pharisees and Sadducees would have loved him to death. And he would have been glorified, and he would have been filthy rich. But no, he died a criminal death on the cross. A cross that was... And this is not even in my notes. It's God just wanted me to talk about this. He died a criminal death. I realize there was two thieves. One on his right side, one on his left side. Jesus Christ in the center, but that cross was meant for who? Barabbas. A murderer, a thief, a scum. But who do they release? Barabbas. Who do they scream crucified? Crucify Jesus Christ. When Pilate said, his blood ain't on my hands, what do they say? Let his blood be on ours and our children, our generation. Rejection. And what you're seeing today, especially in America, is the rejection of the true gospel. What you're seeing is entertainment, motivation, uplifting. We truly in America... I don't know what persecution is. I don't profess to be a prophet. You can call me one if you want to. I don't profess to be much of anything other than a humble man of God, a messenger from God to preach the truth. You can put labels on me all you want. All I know is I can be what God needs me to be in the situation. He needs me to be a prophet. I'll yield to that. If he needs me to be a pastor, I'll yield to that. If he needs me to be an evangelist, I'll yield to that. For his will be done, not mine. And that's my heart cry. And through this website, is that heart cry is to reach, is a platform to reach whoever God knows with the gospel. To bring them from the darkness they're in to the light, the glorious light of the gospel. And all you guys have been supporting this ministry, thank you for your prayers. I want to say thanks. You know my saying, if only one person's impact from this ministry, it's all worth it, because that's that one person God needed to be impacted, and that's all that matters. I'm responsible for the obedience and the trust, and the outcome is all Jesus Christ, not me. Doing a set of sermon series. This will be the last one. Four of them. Centering on salvation, of course. And our main scripture is John 3:16-21. That's John 3:16-21. Title of this message is Light and Darkness. So if you're taking notes, it's Light and Darkness. John 3:16-21. We're same springboard passage we've been using for the last three sermons. I encourage you to listen to all three up to this. You will lose the full impact of this message if you don't listen to all three and this fourth one together. And pray that you're taking plain notes that, and once again, they're uploaded here so you can listen to them as many times as you want to. Titles, Light and Darkness, but that the question I really want to ask you, this is kind of the center question that I want to present to you, that, and this is dealing with salvation. I want you to ask yourself, what kingdom are you in? Are you in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness? And this goes right along with 1, 2, and 3, and we're finishing it out here in part 4 of this Salvation Sermon Series. John 3:16-21, let's read that, and we'll pray, and then we'll get into this message. John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation: light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that do true comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest. They are wroth in God. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, lifting your name above any others, Holy Spirit, pour as you need to. Pour in my heart, through my lips, to speak the words that you need me to speak. And let the words I speak reach those, penetrate the heart, rattle the soul, motivate them to go out there and to preach the gospel, to be a light to this world in the midst of darkness. Let the Holy Spirit inflame them, burn through them as an all-consuming fire. Disrupt their sleep if you must, for the souls of this world, those that you place in our life, from our work to our family to our friends to just going to the marketplace, going to the gas stations, our events that we may attend. Open our eyes, open our ears to those around us. You give us opportunities all the time to reach somebody for the gospel. And we learn to lean on you, and you will give us the words to say in that moment to those wandering souls. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord. I pray over our nation. I pray over this world. I pray, when I look across especially America, I see this darkness engulfing us. I see this perversion of the gospel surrounding us. And I know that in the last days this is coming, that there will be a perversion. Men will be tickling their ears, and people will be seeking these men to tickle their ears, because they will rather believe a lie than the truth. You tell us that will be as in the last days, so it be. We are in the last days. Time is drawing near. Your patience is wearing thin. Your wrath will be coming, and our hearts should burn for those that will be lost. God, give us a heart for the lost. Give us a heart to reach those that are hopeless, depressed, filled with anxiety, God. Give us strength, even though we may not have to be worried on what to say. We should not be worried, for we lean on you and trust you and have faith. You will give us the words we need to say. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is this old hymn that I love, and many do. A hymn that rocks my very soul in many ways. My heart breaks when I hear it every time. But I know this is good because I am not callous of what Jesus Christ done for me and for this whole world. The hymn is Amazing Grace. You may or may not know it. But the hymn was first a poem by John Newton. It was written around 1772. That was a long time ago, right? And here's a little insight into John Newton's poem was made into a song. See, John Newton was an Englishman and a known slave trader in the 1700s. He experienced a lot of pain in his life from his mother passing away when he was just 6. In his 20s, he spent years fighting against authority, going so far as trying to desert the Roman Navy in his 20s. Later, he was abandoned by his crew in West Africa, and there he was forced to be a servant to slave trader. A servant to a slave trader, but he was eventually rescued. On his journey back to England, a violent storm hits, and this storm almost sunk the ship, prompting Newton to cry out to God to save him from the storm. When he returned, however, he became a slave ship master, a profession in which he served for several years, bringing slaves from Africa to England over multiple trips. In the 1754, after becoming violently ill on a sea voyage, Newton abandoned his life as a slave trader. The slave trade, the seafaring, although wholehearted, devoting his life to God's service. He was ordained as an Anglican priest in 1764, and he became quite popular as a preacher and a hymn writer, penning about 280 hymns, among them the great Amazing Grace, which first appeared in a hymnal, Onen Hymns, printed by Newton and a poet and fellow writer, William Cooper, at Cowper. It was later set to popular tune in New Britain in 1835 by William Walker. In later years, Newton fought along William Wilberforce, leader of a parliament campaign to abolish the African slave trade. He described the horrors of slave trade in a tract he wrote supporting the campaign. He lived to see that the passage of the Slave Trade Act in 1807. And now when we see how the lyrics look, I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Though many dangers and tolls and snares, I have already came. This grace has brought me this far. Grace will lead me home. It carries a much deeper meaning than a sinner's mere gratitude. Close to death at various times and blind to reality of others, Newton would most assured not have written Amazing Grace if it wasn't for his past. Many of us would then be without these lovely words and so apt to describe our relationship with Christ and the reliance on His amazing grace. This grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relief. How present did that great grace appear the hour I first believe. When we look at John Newton, we can say this man had experienced a deep and profound journey. He is blinded by this world and his pain of this world. We could say he was in darkness. In this hymn he writes, or we can sing, I once was blind, but now I see. When we think of the blindness, what do we think of? Usually, this is a physical blindness that most of us can think of. The person that can only see darkness. This darkness is what? The absence of light. The loss of one's physical eyesight is horrible. I cannot imagine this. But we all can say when someone is physically blind, they cannot see. And the absence of light means darkness. Maybe this will help you to visualize this. Say if you go outside and you do not have the street lights or light to illuminate the area, what will you see? Darkness. Maybe you're in it's nighttime and you're in a room. Just turn the lights off, close the windows, and just sit there for about 5-10 minutes in darkness. Your eyes will acclimate to the darkness, and you will see darkness. There's no light. This is the absence. This is a physical blindness that we can think of. And most, to look at that and relate to that, you can kind of get that physical blindness. But I want to speak of another blindness. I want to speak of a spiritual blindness. But understand, the spiritual blindness is absent of darkness. I want to talk about spiritual darkness and spiritual light. What is spiritual darkness? Have you really thought about this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul tells us, inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen this letter, he says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God, lowercase g, which is the God of this world. This God has the name. He goes by many names, but most of us know these two names, Satan or the devil. The world is in spiritual darkness. Remember that God, this is God's creation, but this is Satan world. Listen to Matthew 4:8-10. This is Jesus being tempted by the devil, by Satan. Verse 8 says again, this is the third temptation recorded in Matthew. Again, the devil take him up into a seeing high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then said Jesus to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. See, Satan here, the devil, this serpent, is showing and offering Jesus Christ these kingdoms. Let me tell you, you cannot offer something that you do not have. So this world's his, right? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4, that part said, whom the God of this world has blinded, the God of this world, the God of these kingdoms of this world. This world's his. And their sin is the flag they wave high and proud. If you don't believe me, look at the glorification of abortion. Over 60 million babies murdered in the womb. Sad. Breaks my heart. Sexual immorality. From man marrying man, women marrying women. Man wanting to be women, and women wanting to be man. Marriage being attacked. There's this thing called open marriage where two people can get married and still have sexual relationships with other people. And believe it or not, I was looking at a poll there the other day. It was looking at Christians, professing Christians, I guess. Or when I say professing Christians, I'm saying those are truly not his. They profess something that's far from their hearts are okay with open marriage. In my Bible, God's word, and says that is adultery. God even goes to raise the standard. He says even if you look upon a woman, you commit adultery. Oh, you don't hear that preach at many churches. Why? They want to keep their jobs. I want to tell you, I'd rather sit here and preach on this website than preach at a church physically that don't want to hear the truth. Because I do not want their blood on my hands. I'd rather be spit at, mocked, even brought out and beaten, then fill them with lies, because I know their blood will be on my hands. And God sends people to these pastors. I've been sent, and they do not receive. They don't receive these messages very well. Why? Because their hearts are not truly on the truth. For God is the truth, right? He is the life. He is the way. Look at the entertainment from Taylor Swift, which pronounces she's a witch and a Christian. This magic and to the violence that is glorified on television, movies, spirit darkness is glorified more than spiritual light. And those in spiritual darkness, regardless, they profess to be in spiritual light. But if they reject the truth of the gospel, they are in spiritual darkness. They are under the blindness of Satan, the god of this world. I want to tell you, many that profess to know Jesus Christ, they really do not know Jesus Christ. They're okay with their sin in their life. They do not care to repent of their sin. Confession, repentance, right? Godly sorrow leads to repentance. They are not a light, but darkness. If you support Taylor Swift, you take your child or children to this witch who profess to be a Christian, you are not in the light, you are in darkness. You're a part of the kingdom. You are not part of the kingdom of light, but you are the part of the kingdom of darkness. I know this is hard and you may not want to hear this, but we need the preachers with this boldness to pronounce this within the pulpit. And if they want to kick us out, so be it. I'd rather be at home praying and seeking God's direction on the next direction that He needs me. Maybe preaching out on the streets, on the street corner. Preaching on a website. Whatever it means. Pray, Lord, open the next door. I will step into it. Regardless of what it looks like. I will yield. But light and darkness. John 3:19-21 tells us about this light and darkness. It goes into this. It says, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that do truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. They are wroth in God. So God's word tells us here, there is a condemnation. Jesus Christ, the light, he has came into the world. But what happens? Man, in this word man here, in the Greek, is neutral. In this passage, meaning it can be man or woman, or you could say individual or person. That person or individual, they love darkness rather than light because that person's deeds were evil. This condemnation is turning from light to darkness when they're presented with the truth. Each of us have a choice, my friend. You will choose light or darkness. Those that choose darkness, the evil, they hate Jesus Christ. They are of this world and they're the father of this world. They are children of disobedience and they will receive God's wrath. They not turn from their wicked ways. But those who come to the light, the truth, they are no longer under condemnation. They are walking in the light. And this light points to Jesus Christ. They have two paths they can choose. Matthew 7:13-14 says, "Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because strait is the gate, narrow is the way which leads into life, and few there will find it." This is a hard truth, but are we hearing this truth today? Jesus Christ says, wide gate, right? Narrow, this wide gate. He mentions this wide gate, and he mentions a narrow gate. With this wide gate, which is a broad way, leads to destruction. What does he say? Does he say, few will go down this wide? No, he says many will go down this wide way. And only a few will go down that narrow way that leads to life, that is everlasting life. This is sad truth, and it rattles me, it breaks me to know the rejection of the truth. I love truth so much. I love God's word. And when I look across this world, and especially America, my heart is breaking. How people are embracing this wide way and rejecting the narrow way. See, when God speaks many, that is a lot. I only can not think of the in Matthew, it speaks the days of Noah. And how many that was saved in the day of Noah? The day when the rain and judgment of God came? Only 8. Many Bible scholars believe that millions were living in that time, but only 8 saved. Now I believe more will be saved in our times, but from ratio, many will be more than 8. But there will be more lost than saved. But that should not discourage us, because we are not God. We are given the commission, as Noah was, to give the gospel. And if everyone accepts the gospel, if whoever accepts the gospel or rejects the gospel, that's not on us. We are what to trust and obey and walk in the light, regardless of rejection of the God. They may reject God's word, the truth of the gospel. And what we're seeing today is a perversion of the gospel, a false gospel, another gospel that tells you, you do whatever you want, sin as much as you want, you will still be saved. You don't have to worry about confession, repentance. A false gospel, another gospel that tells you there is no difference between being a Christian. That they tell you that there is no difference. Or no, sorry. They tell you there is a difference between being a Christian and a disciple. Oh, sorry, I did say it right first. They said there is no difference. I think I'm saying that right. There is a difference. Now, I'm said it right the second time. Sorry about that. There is a difference between a Christian and a disciple. That is the false gospel and the other gospel. They tell you there is a difference. You can be a Christian, but you don't have to be a disciple. A false gospel that tells you that this life will be a bed of roses. You just follow Jesus Christ. Everything will be perfect. A false gospel that tells you, another gospel that tells you, you don't have to live a sanctified life for Jesus. You don't have to be separate from this world, but you can blend in, you can compromise. A false gospel, another gospel filled with motivation of me and how I can be the master of my destination. A false gospel, another gospel that tells us to follow our heart. And we don't have to live our life according to Scripture. A false gospel, another gospel that tells us it's all about our will, our goals, our dreams, our purpose. It's all about me. I want to be clear, if you cling to this and if this upsets you and you don't want to see the error of your ways, you are not in the kingdom of light but darkness. Listen to Galatians 5. 16-26. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, which I'll tell you before, and I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not desire the vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. My friend, if you truly are His, you seek to walk in the light. You do not desire to feel the lust of the flesh. Through the Holy Spirit, Paul pens these words, right? And he tells them, Galatia, and us, if you're practicing these works of flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I encourage you to go back over this and look at each of these works of the flesh. Look at adultery. Look at fornication. Look at uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Break them down. Write them down. Look at them. Then examine your life. And if you're okay with practicing this, you don't want to repent, you don't want to ask forgiveness of the sin in your life, you are not a child of God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. You are not going to be part of the light. You are part of darkness. Well, I have this pastor that tells me otherwise. He is an agent of Satan, and he will be judged worse than you. There's a farther and deeper level of hell for those individuals with blood on their hands. But if you acknowledge the error of your ways, you get on your knees right now and you pray, Lord, forgive me. I see the error of my ways. I've been living a life all about me. I've allowed men or women in my life. It's supposed to be men or women of God, but they're agents of Satan. Put in my life to continue to work with Satan to blind me and keep me in the darkness, keep the chains wrapped around me. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, I confess my sin. I pray the Holy Spirit engulfs me, consumes me from the inside out. Change me, teach me, guide me, seek me to walk more in the light and your truth. I want my will to match your will. I want my dreams to line up with yours. I want my goals to match with yours. I want my purpose to match with yours. Oh, direct me, oh Lord. I'm not telling you how to pray, but I'm telling you to accept this. If you accept the false gospel, you do not want to repent of it. You do not want to ask God for correction. There's something wrong with your heart. But if you truly do ask God for correction with a true and genuine heart, God will deliver, I promise you. He will rescue from your darkness and bring you into the glorious light. The light where you seek to die daily. Surrendering every morning to His will. To live the crucified life. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Closing this out. Light and darkness. I pray that you understand spiritual light and spiritual darkness. I pray that you look into your life right now and honestly ask yourself, am I in light or darkness? Have I allowed Satan to blind me? Have I allowed people in my life, pastors, evangelists, Bible teachers, from physical to online? There's a lot of craziness online. I caution you guys jumping on board with online. Research that person very thoroughly before you start sharing their content. A lot of times I will listen to sermons I'll hear about a person. I will listen to hundreds of hours of sermons sometimes on that person, depending if they're new or if they have a lot. And I will listen to a lot of their content. And one thing I like to listen to, I like to check all the messages they have on salvation, because it gives me understanding where they stand. Do they preach on sin? Do they preach about repentance, asking forgiveness, confession? Do they preach the cross? Do they preach on sanctification, a life separate from this world? Do they make a clear distinction that to be a Christian is to be a disciple for Jesus Christ? There is no difference. They go hand to hand. And when I look at it, and I look for the keywords, this progressive, what we call, and this is the false gospel. This is the perversion of the gospel. It goes by progressive Christianity now, a term they call it. And I've preached numerous messages on progressive Christianity. It's just a new name for another gospel. It'll probably have a different name for us over with. I believe this movement that's been since the 60s, I think. Well, I researched it to the 60s. Just it changes names. It'll change name. I believe this will be part of the one world government. One world religion. The Antichrist will be. But they take passages that they like and they mark out the ones they don't like. They say, well, those were back then and not now. Hell, repentance, confession, sanctification, all those are old terms. We have a new way, a new progressive way. The old, all this old stuff about sin and hell, we don't believe that. We believe we can have our best life now. And when they say their best life now, they're speaking all the abundance of this world material-wise. They believe they should have it. They believe that, even some will believe that they are God. But oh, this is false. Just think of Satan. He wanted to be God too. Nothing new. Just the agent of Satan. Changing the words. Moving a few things around. Injecting another gospel. A false gospel. A perversion of the gospel. The God of this world, Satan, has blinded those. Because they have allowed their eyes to be blinded. And I want to tell you today, if you're under this blindness, this spiritual blindness, this spiritual darkness, God does not want you to be under this spiritual darkness. He wants to open your eyes. He wants the scales to fall from your eyes. And He wants you to see the glorious light, the truth. But you have a choice to make. You have to choose the light and reject the darkness. Truly, you have to look at your life. You got to look at passages like Galatians 5, 16 through 21 and break that down. Actually, yeah, Galatians 16 to 26. Highlight that and break it down. When you look at the works of the flesh, we're not supposed to be operating in the flesh. We're not supposed to be operating in that sin. There is supposed to be a battle that we're raging every day. Paul says, I die daily for a reason, because he knew when he woke up in the morning, there was a battle raging in him. The flesh will seek the things of this world. But he said, I die daily. He speaks of crucifying, Galatians 2:20, about crucifying the flesh. And he speaks about crucifying the flesh in Galatians 5:24. He says, and they that are Christ have crucified. They have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. He's saying we are crucifying that every day. We are surrendering every day. We're saying, God, I am giving you my life today. Give me strength to walk more in your light and less in the flesh. It's an ongoing battle that we must fight. We don't fight this battle alone, because we have the Holy Spirit and He gives us strength. That's why prayer is so important in our life, to put prayer at the center of our life, from prayer to the morning, throughout the day, to the very night when we close our eyes. Our reading of Scripture should be flowing through our hearts every day. The memorization of Scripture. I encourage you to examine your life. Look at your prayer life. Look at your studying God's Word. Why do preachers keep saying this over and over? Because there is a neglect. God knows the hearts and the attention of every one of us. And when He looks especially across America, He knows there is a neglect of prayer. He knows there's a neglect of studying God's Word. And that's why preachers like us may sound like a broken record. And if you know me, I don't like repeating myself. It's kind of ironic. God anointed me as a preacher because what I find myself doing is repeating myself over, as Paul did here. When he says in verse 21, that last part, he said, I told you in time past, meaning he has preached this message, Lord knows how many times, probably too many times that he's lost count. They that would do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So when you break this flesh, this lust of the flesh, this sin here, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling. And he says, such that which I've told you before, I've told you in time past, say that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying if you're doing these things, you don't repent of these things, you don't confess these things, you're okay with that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, preachers don't want to preach on this. Why do they don't want to preach on this? I can tell you, because they have sin in their life and they love it. And they have their people in the pulpit. They love their sin, and they will find these, they will heap these men in there to tell them a lie because they want to believe it. That's why you see millions upon millions endorsing false pastors, false preachers, false teachers, false evangelists. It's numerous. And they grow exponentially. I can't even keep track of them. And us men, we're just pushed to the side. And women, we're pushed to the side because we are living in a hostile world that does not want to hear the truth of the gospel. And I plead to you, my friend, that you open your ears, your eyes. Let this message radiate through your being. As children of the light, we do not walk or seek to walk in darkness. We seek to be separate from this world. Yes, we have to live in this world. We have to be of this world. But we are not supposed to conform to this world. We are, Jesus never conformed to this world. He spoke the truth on, again, I can promise you, if he conformed to this world, they would have not crucified him. They would have not crucified him. He would have not died a criminal death. He would have been glorified, magnified, and wealth would have fell all over him. But he died naked, stripped down, beaten, nailed to a cross, bled, mocked, ridiculed. Oh, that breaks my heart to think about that. For a world that spit on him, that cursed him, that beat him, that killed him. And he looked down on those that done this horrific thing to him. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. God, forgive them. He prayed for them. All of that conviction in your heart when you look at this world and know what they will do to us. We should lean in and follow the message that Jesus Christ clearly, right? Even though what they may do to us and they may say all manner of evil against us, we still pray for them and we still seek that the darkness in their life is broken. We pray over those preachers out there that are preaching another gospel, or the teachers in our nation, and this evil that we see. We pray for those, and we pray that the darkness is ripped from them and that light is seen, because we do not want to see none of them to burn in hell. We don't want to see none of them to perish. We want them to see the light, even if it may be on their deathbed. We pray, Lord, that they open their eyes to the truth, even as a thief on the cross is there. One rejected him and one accepted him. One was, they were both mocking him. And then one seen that this man in the middle, there was no guilt. He did not deserve what they were going. They deserve the penalty of their death, but he did not deserve. He was guiltless, sinless. He had no sin. But he became sin for us on the cross. The blood spilt for us, the atonement of our sins. See, we truly his, we recognize the sacrifice on the cross. We recognize what he did for us. And this should change our life. Why would not we want our life, this brief period in time, to match up with his? With our dreams, our purposes, our will to match up with his. What is my will is nothing. When I'm old, if I survived to be 80, 90, 100, which I don't think this world will tarry that long. What is that mere age? It's nothing compared to eternity. When my life is called, my last breath is drawn, my true everlasting life will be beyond what I can imagine. The pain and the sorrow and the hurt of this world will not mean nothing compared to the eternity that's waiting for me and those that love Jesus Christ with everything we got, and we'll keep pressing on to the very end, regardless of ridicules, regardless of the rejection, regardless how many churches we get thrown out, regardless of how evil we are spoken of. We will still tarry on. Why? Because our God is stronger than anything this world can hit us with. His strength is beyond what I can imagine. His strength gives me the will to wake up in the morning and to keep on pressing on for him, regardless of how I look at everything, and I wish I could do a full-time ministry. I wish I had a church that's on fire for God, a physical church that we could go out there and we could reach those at these other churches and witness into their life, to tell them to return to the true gospel and leave that church and come to a church that is preaching God, that's preaching a sanctified life, that's not preaching a license of sin, a license of immorality, a license saying you can do whatever you want and still be saved. You don't have to worry about hell. There is no hell. We're all God's children and we're going to heaven. Oh, don't believe that lie. We are God's creation. He created us, but we are not all His children. Only those that truly come to Jesus Christ is His children. We are children. We are, if we accept Jesus Christ and the gospel, we are His children. We, the true gospel, right? This life of sanctification, this life of holiness, this life of living a life separate from this world, and to recognize that we are sinful, and when we do sin, the repentance and the grief, the conviction of the Holy Spirit hits us, and we seek His correction. We seek His direction. But those that don't want this, they are children of darkness. They are children of Satan. But I want to ask you today, are you in the light or are you in darkness? Do you seek this sanctification in your life? You recognize being a Christian is a disciple. Preach a message on, is there a difference between a Christian and a disciple? A 4 or 5 part series sermon somewhere on this, on one of these websites. And there is no difference. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple for Jesus Christ. A lot of people want to say they want to get rid of the disciple passages because they penetrate our hearts and they don't like it. What do I mean? I need to forsake this world and follow Jesus. What does it mean? I'll be persecuted. I want to hear that. A Christian disciple. I'm a Christian but not a disciple. This is the garbage that's being preached and believed. If you truly are His, you embrace being a disciple. It's an honor and it's a privilege. But what we have is a comfortable gospel, a perversion of the gospel. And if you're comfortable with that gospel, that perversion, that another gospel, you're not a child of God. But if you recognize the error of your ways, you repent and turn from your wickedness, you will come into the glorious light. The Holy Spirit will come into your life. He will change you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into Your Word. God, help me to walk according to Your will and Your purpose. I'm not the most elegant speaker. And never will be. But I pray the scriptures that was used today, that those are listening, they go back through them and study them hard. And if I can be used in that growing of their faith, or a person that can help them see the error of their ways, through Your Spirit, Holy Spirit in me, gives me the strength to do that. Nothing special about Jonathan Ritter, just a heart for the lost. To open eyes to the truth of the gospel. God, I pray that You just open eyes. If only one is impacted with this message, praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. If I preach hundreds upon hundreds or thousands of thousands of sermons, how many conferences I may attend or may preach in the future, or if it's just on the corner of the street. What tracts I hand out may reach into the hearts and do something to them. God, You get all the glory. I don't seek fame. I seek Your light to shine and to break the darkness. Lord, let our prayers be to use us any way that You see necessary. Not how we view how we should be used, but how You chooses to use us for Your glory. For it's all about You. When this life is said and done, today could be our last day. that we can enter your presence. Yes, we will have some regrets. And yes, because we all fall short in times. And you know that. We can still come in your presence because we're pushing and we're leaning on you, knowing that our flesh is a contender and is intent to crucify daily. Most of us will admit that. I will admit that. It's a battle. And we don't always get it right. But I pray that we get it right more than we get it wrong. Especially for leaning on you. For a life saturated prayer from the very morning throughout the day to night. And our Bible reading, our Bible studying engulfs our life more than anything else around us. And we only can answer those questions when we look at our life truly. How's our prayer life? How's our Bible reading? Most preachers like us, we just sound like broken records, but we, through the Holy Spirit, God moving in us, we know many, they're lacking this. We don't physically can look into their life and say, hey, I see you're not praying and reading your Bible. Oh man, God sees it. And he moves in men like me and women like me to reach into lives and to hit them with the truth. God's truth, not ours. His word, not ours. Yes, will we be ridiculed for as the messengers, as the apostles were, as the prophets were, as other men and women were in the past and that will be in the future? Yeah, we will be. That's just part of the calling. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. And you tell us we will feel the persecution of this world because we're going against the culture. We're going against the God of this world, which is Satan, and the hold that he has on it. And he does not like it when we walk on his territory. So be it. The battle will begin every day as we step in the war that's been waging light and darkness. Let's make that choice. Are we part of the light or we are part of the darkness? We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. I love you guys. As always, I mentioned earlier today, you can email me through this website, Crucify for Christ Ministries. Make sure in the subject heading you put Crucify for Christ Ministries, just in case it goes to spam or junk mail, I can cipher through it where it won't get lost or deleted. Also on Facebook, you PM me. You can even private message me, even if you're not part of my Facebook group. If any questions you may have, you guys are a part of my Facebook group. You know, I'm on there a lot. I post a lot of scripture, a lot of replicable sources on there. I have a separate, a little Facebook group that I have is Hearts on Fire. So you can, there's a, that one has a restriction, so not anybody can join that. There's a series of questions on that they have to answer. And then I have to approve you on there because I was really careful. I learned this many years on Facebook on who to add on my Facebook group. I've got people on there I probably shouldn't have added, but on this one, I'm really restricted on who I put on here on that Hearts on Fire because I want people's hearts on fire for God on that website or that Facebook group. I don't want lukewarm Christians on there. I want people on fire. And that was the point of that Facebook Pacific group. So you can PM me that way. Not on X or Twitter a lot or Instagram. The best way to get a hold of me is through this email or through Facebook. Some of you guys have my private phone number. You can send me a message through my phone, or you can call me. I don't give my phone number out much anymore because of the, there's a lot of hostile people out there with these type of messages. They'll say I'm preaching hate, not love. And they're just part of the progressive Christian movement, or the perversion of the gospel movement, where they're okay with men marrying men, women marrying women, man changing their self to women, and women changing their self to men, the whole transgender movement, the abortion, and all that garbage that's out there, all the sexual morality, sleep with whoever you want, even if you're married. It's horrible. It's a cesspool out there, and it's just going to get worse. But we still remain to be the light and preach the gospel in a wicked and perverse generation. I love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your, if you're listening to this during the weekend, have a good rest of your weekend. Pray that your Sunday service goes awesome, in your mid-Wednesday service, or whatever services you may have throughout the week. Keep me in prayers. Going to a conference tonight. I was trying to put the finishing touches on this sermon with the guys' help, so I could go to this conference tonight, and then try to make it to church Sunday, and then on next weekend we have Easter Resurrection Sunday. There's a great outreach in my area. So keep that in prayer. We're going to be carrying two crosses, one cross from one area and a cross to another area. And there's going to be prayer tents set up with tracts hand out in our area to reach those around us. And then we're going to do a Friday night celebration with eating at a church. And that's going to be all long day Friday, and then Saturday kind of rest up, and then Sunday do Resurrection Sunday stuff. So keep me in prayers on that, and just strengthen. Ever since I agreed to help out with that, I've been under severe attack. It's just how the enemy operates left and right. But meaning somebody's going to be reached, and that's all that matters. Thank you guys for your prayers, your support for this ministry. I lift each of you guys up in prayer too. If you have any needs or anything, please text me, email me, Facebook me. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. May the glorious light shine through you to those that God has placed in your life. Bye.